Hello and welcome to another episode of the We're All Idiots podcast. It's Faraz from London.
And it's Tanweer from Perth.
I'm surprised I got that in one take, you know.
Yeah, I know. I had to almost clear my throat as well. I'm thinking, shit, this, yeah.
It's been a while. I think, you know what, I want to just say we are both kind of just apologetic of the delays, because I know that we had some really good frequent listeners to the podcast, and we have had a few people message us say, why have you stopped? But it has just been a matter of life taking over, to be honest. And
yeah, that's encouraging, isn't it? It's I had a couple of people as well ask me when's the next podcast, and I didn't even realize that it's been 5 weeks since we recorded one, which it does not feel like 5 weeks, but
it has been. We have both tried to actually fit it, because I think we tried to fit one in last week or the week before, and
I think both, and last week and the week before.
Yeah, so I think it's just literally just been so chaotic that we just been like, oh, okay, like today's busy or whatever, let's reschedule. I think it's probably just I don't know, I'm not too sure. I think it's just been so much going on for both of us. I think both of our schedules, like, we've not even been speaking that much, which means it has been busy, because we used to usually speaking a few times a week at least. So what's been going on your side?
Yeah, well, lots has been going on. Obviously, that's why we haven't, you know, it's two or three, from going from two or three times a week plus the podcast to, we haven't spoken in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, nothing properly. Like, we spoke to, like, quick chat.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but yeah, that was probably the most we've spoken. No life catch-ups, literally nothing.
Well, you know, the good thing is, the silver lining out of this is that we're both obviously trying out a lot of different things, and, you know, trying out a few different ventures and see what's working, and obviously we're enjoying that. So I think that's a silver lining. But what I've realized from this, you know, it's so easy to allow life to take over and just not, you know, not to at least, I don't know, make time for the important things, or make a little bit of time to step back or have a bit of downtime or me time. I don't know if you've found that as well, because it's been like, you know, 12 hours a day I've been working, some even evenings. Like, sometimes I'm watching cricket at night at 10 p.m. watching the IPL, and I'm still on my laptop. It's like, I feel like my laptop's always on.
I think that's the main problem, you know. I think with laptops, you can actually work anytime, any place, even on holiday. You can take your laptop and you'll be doing it. It's pretty bad, even with phones, let's be honest. You've got your emails there, they'll be pinging, you'll check it. I know a few people that, like, they check as soon as they hear a ping, they have to check it. And it's quite bad, because I guess, even I remember when I was in corporate, it used to be a matter of if you see an email come in, you'd check the email and respond back. But often, rather than doing that, you're often not working at your greatest efficiencies at that point, because you're not having email time. You're just doing everything as it comes in and being quite reactive rather than focusing on. So it's just, yeah, like, there's too many things. Like, it's just constant stimulation. There's no time off right now. Your laptop in front of you at all time. So you're just like, oh, maybe I can just have a look at packaging.
That's exactly right. I guess it's, you know, with work thing you mentioned, it's interesting, because lots of people have rules. When you have a 9-to-5 job, five days a week, say, a lot of people I've heard, they just have a timer, they switch off their emails and they get nothing. You know, emails, they don't take work calls after a certain time, it's their family time or downtime or whatever. But I guess when we are in a situation where we're trying out different things and we weren't passionate about the corporate life, and we are trying out these different things, and it was always going to be a hard slog initially, right? And you've had that in the last couple of years. You've been working very hard in the fashion business, and then now you're just trying out a couple of other things. It's difficult when you're sort of, you know, do you continue this way so that in 3 or 4 years' time you will have freedom, or you sort of pull it back a little bit now so that 3 or 4 years might be like 5 or 6 years? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It's quite, I guess it depends on what you actually want, right? Like, there's nothing. Like, I don't look at people now in the corporate world and think, oh my God, like, poor you. Sometimes I look at them like, man, like, you're so lucky that you can just laptop or computer at 5 and just have a life. And, like, not just have a life. I guess it's more just, like, be able to turn off. Because let's be honest, like, some people will have to take some of that home with them, think about their work all the time. And I do speak to people in corporate that, like, they'll be turning off their computer and they're still thinking about things through the evening, whether it's a journalist or whether it's someone in finance that's working on a project or anything, right? But on the majority, you've probably got most people that you literally, I don't think there were many people I used to work with that took any of that stuff home. They went home and they chilled out. They have their family time and whatever it is, and they just don't have to stress so much. And
but you know what, this is, it's funny that you mentioned this, because it's just so, you know, the point about looking at the corporate life and thinking, oh man, you know, it's so good, you've got that structured 9 to 5 and you're done and you've got a free weekend. It's human behavior. It just says so much about us, because people look at, like last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a 30 degree day in the middle of spring, which is very unusual. And I was, you know, I went to the beach for a couple of hours. I was reading, and some of my friends are going, man, I'm just so jealous you could do these kinds of things. And I'm telling them, I'm not even making money at the moment, but yes, it is. I sort of have got this freedom from living this lifestyle where I could do these kind of things, and when I can just catch up with anyone I want at any time.
Mm.
But it's both, looking from both sides, it feels greener. It's,
yeah, man. It's so true. Like, we would always be sitting on the fence, on the side of the fence, where you're like, oh, they look like they've got security, and they'll be like, oh, they look like they don't have to live to any kind of rules. They do what they want. They're living in a bit more of an unstructured life. And it's like, you can always find something good on the other side. But I guess it's like, you know what's right for you, right? Like, even though it's been a stressful couple of years, and things have been good at times, things have been bad at times, especially with COVID, with retail sales have been pretty shit at times. There's been good periods where people were starting to work from home and stuff like that, but on the majority, it's like, people are very scared to spend money. So yeah, like, stuff like that, like, you don't necessarily know where things are gonna go. So it's like, I guess it's swings and roundabouts with that, really. It depends on what you want, what you're looking for. Is it that structured? Is it that kind of consistency and knowing where your meal's coming from as such? Or do you want to just, like, work to exit that kind of cycle of life? But the main difficulty, I guess, back to kind of where we were thinking, is like, right now, like, how do you find your time? How do you split your time? How do you allocate time? Whatever you want to say, so you're not overstretching yourself. Because let's be honest, like you're saying there, you're watching IPL and you got your laptop and you're still working. It's probably not very healthy, is it?
No, well, it's definitely not, you know, first and foremost, it's not healthy for my neck because it's always looking down on a laptop. And then obviously it's not healthy for my mental health. So I think the first point is just acknowledging and realizing that. And I think I have, and how I think it's just consciousness or being aware of it is probably the most important thing, because that just now I'm just constantly aware of that, because I have realized this in the last sort of couple of weeks, especially since we've been trying to schedule this podcast, that, you know, I'm just constantly thinking about, oh, like you said before, you know, oh, maybe I could research some of this. Oh, maybe I could research some of this. But the fact is, when you're doing these kinds of things, there will always be things to do.
Yeah, always, always. And I think, you know, what you have to realize is, like, okay, this is what I felt, is like there's certain points where your efficiency becomes significantly lower. Let's say you'll be working, if you've got a laptop open between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m., chances are you're working less efficiently if you've been doing that same, if you're working on that same business or idea since 9 a.m., right? Because that's 12 hours plus another 4. So is it better to feel like you stopped at 9 and your mind relaxed for 4 hours and you feel better the next day, or feel overworked the next day, which most people do? You always feel overworked. You feel like, oh, I just don't ever get a chance to breathe. I'm not stopping. Like, I work and I sleep. I work and I sleep. So just having that kind of cut off time and saying, cool, like, I'm done now.
Yeah. And not only, I think that's a great point. I think you draw that line, but just on that point of just feeling overworked, the other thing that would be huge, or hugely negative about that is because you're unproductive, that would just, you know, those kinds of things. Sometimes I just sit with the laptop and, you know, with the IPL example, and I think, oh man, I'm not even being productive and I'm not even watching the cricket. What am I doing? and it just frustrates you more. I did this last night, actually. Like, Dhoni hit the 6 and I missed it. I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like, I was just looking at my laptop, and and at that point I did shut it. But it was like, you know, it's just, I think coming up with some rules. So I think that's what I've realized, and I'm going to start doing it a little bit more.
Another good one is obviously having a computer that's in another room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just saying that, look, because we discussed it the other day, because I've got myself a computer now, obviously, for trading predominantly. But, what's it called? Having a computer in a separate room means that once you've left that room, that's it, it's done, right? Rather than a laptop. If you've got a laptop, use that as a chilling laptop rather than a work laptop. And whatever you do on there is literally personal time. So even if you're on your laptop, say, searching for clothes or searching for, I don't know, it could be anything, right? If you do that, you don't feel like that is working. You just feel like you're just chilling at that point.
Well, I think it's, I watched a really good documentary recently. You may have heard of it, The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yeah, I started it. I haven't watched the whole thing.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it just talks about all the addiction side of things. And we've spoken about it a little bit on the addiction podcast before, but it goes a lot deeper into how a lot of the technology is designed these days. It's to make us addicted, like you mentioned before, with notifications popping up or the pings, and everything is designed to make us or hook us in, right? We instantly
have pretty disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. And they've got behavioral psychologists working for them, and they've got all kinds of psychology experts working with them. So it is disgusting. And so I think you know, not only just keeping the computer, I need to find a way, and I'm just not succeeding at the moment, is just to completely detach with technology. And it's just become, you know, because if I'm not working, then because I've got a couple of Instagrams, which I'm not managing, but then you're also on the phone just looking at other stuff, and there's emails and there's inquiries coming in, and there's just, So
there's always stuff, though. That's the problem. Like you said, there's always stuff to do. So whether you do it today or tomorrow, there will always be more. So I think it's a matter of making sure you are doing something that is consistent rather than overdoing it, burning out, and then having to take time away. So you might do, instead of doing, let's say, 100 unit days, you're doing 120 unit days. But if you do maybe 520 unit days, I don't want to say unit instead of percentage, just because it sounds weird, but you could end up burning out after 5 days. But if you just stuck at 100, you could last for 4 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So no point getting to that point, and then overall you actually probably minimize your efficiencies, and you end up getting frustrated, you're more likely to quit, you're more likely to give up on what you're doing. You're more likely to be frustrated or unhappy when you are chilling out as well. So there's probably a lot of benefits of just not overstretching yourself, and knowing what your limits are and where you can stretch and where you shouldn't stretch more.
So the key thing, what I'm hearing, like from what you just said, is, so I think letting go, because there's always going to be more to do. And we've both come from the corporate world, and it's been, you know, we didn't have any problems letting go before, did we? It was just walk away and it's done. Or letting go on a Friday night and not think about it until Monday.
Mm.
Obviously, here we're trying to build something, so it's a little bit different. But I think having that mindset of there will always be something, and 12-hour delay on responding to something is not going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously that doesn't apply if you're waiting to respond to an investor who's investing $10 million in your business, but you know, you've just got to prioritize. I think letting go with the right things is the key, because it just sucks you in.
Yeah, I think, you know what, you need to understand yourself, you need to understand and prioritize things properly. There's that quadrant rule, right? Like urgent and important quadrants, basically looking at how, if something needs to be done and it's urgent and important, you do it now. If it's not urgent and not important, you probably never have to do it, really. But you have to prioritize things based on that quadrant, and then you can work out how you can manage your day a little bit better, because we've all got tasks to do, right? You've got stuff that you got to do right now. After this call, after this podcast, you have certain things you want to finish before you go to bed, or whatever it is, whether that's personal things or whether that's work things. There's loads of on the go. So
yeah,
I think it's, yeah, mostly just, I think especially, I think one thing that I'm probably not as good at is kind of using previous day. Like obviously I do diary management through any meetings or calls or this and that to manage the diary in that sense, but not on a, I've seen someone do some really interesting things with complete diary management, in the sense of, let me pull it up on Instagram because it was pretty interesting. He had a post which basically listed absolutely everything he's doing in his day. So it'd be like 4 a.m. wake up and make bed, 4:05 pray, 4:15 coffee, green tea, gratitude list, 4:30 meditation, 4:45 yoga. Like literally all the way down to 2200, 10 o'clock sleep, meditation, 10:15 bed. So literally all the way through, he had everything listed out, and it'd even be like audiobook, 12 rules for life, and drive. So even those times, it's like overlapping between audiobook and walking and audiobook and driving and stuff like that. So it's very structured, and it's probably a really good way to just, I think, take energy away from decision making every day.
How
reactive you will be. Sorry?
Finding that focus. So taking energy away from planning, but also finding that focus that this is, you know, this is between whatever 10 and 10:30, you will just listen to an audiobook.
Yeah. And even just saying, look, I'm going to do yoga for 15 minutes. It allocates the time. Like, you've set that time. You've made a decision. You've made a conscious decision to plan out your day to say, look, this is how I want to do my day. And of course, I think it's quite difficult because depending on where you're at in your business, if you're in early stages, to be able to say, okay, cool, I'm going to do this at this time and that at that time, sometimes it's quite difficult because you'll get a call at 7 p.m. and it just shits the whole diary because you're like, oh shit, I had a half an hour call with someone that I wasn't expecting to speak to, blah, blah, blah. And then everything in that diary is basically just gone to shit. And you can't go to gym or you can't do this, can't do that. So, yeah, it's very interesting. I would like to implement it because I think there are many benefits to it. But part of me thinks, how do I do it?
Yeah, I think just having that much structure, I'm not sure if it works. I think it would. It's just finding the right balance, I feel, because Jawed does exactly what you just said. He's got three kids. And he's got two businesses and he's got so much shit going on that he has to structure himself. I feel that because we are probably not, we've got a lot of stuff going on, but I guess we are a little bit less flexible, more flexible. So we are just all over the place. But I think what we need to do, one, is find the right balance with structuring or whoever, different people need to find a different kind of balance. So maybe not as like, you know, wake up 4 a.m., make bed 4 or 5, whatever that was that you just said.
Yeah.
Maybe not structured to that extent, but find some kind of diary structure. So then it becomes a non-negotiable, you know, for example, wake up early and go to gym. So that sort of already starts you off on a good, or if it's evening, you know, let's say 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. go to gym, and that becomes, make it a non-negotiable. So even if you're working, unless there's a very super urgent phone call from someone, even if you're doing something that is sort of urgent, surely something like that can wait till 7:30 p.m. after your gym.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
So I think that kind of finding a little bit of structure rather than down to 5 or 10 minutes or something like that, and make it a non-negotiable and say that, you know, before 10, for example, I will do 10 minutes meditation every day. And then that makes it like, oh, shit, you know, it's I've got lots of stuff going on, but something like meditation will help me. So you just have to find time.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like saying before, if you set maybe chunk your day out, depending on what time people wake up, let's say between 7 and 11 is part A, 11 to 3 is part B, 3 to 7 is part C, and 7 to 11 is part D. So maybe if you chunk your day like that into 16-hour portions, split by 4 hours, and you say part A, B, C, D, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and that in part A, this in part B, and you have it in that, then you can be flexible a little bit more in terms of your timings. So, like, you can say, oh, like, I'm going to plan to go gym between 7 and 11 for 45 minutes. I'm not going to say it's going to be 7, or I'm not going to say it's going to be 9 or whatever, but I'm going to achieve it in that part of my day. And then that way, if anything changes, like let's say you've got 45 minutes allocated to work in that space as well. If that happens at the beginning or the end, it doesn't necessarily affect you too much. You don't feel like everything's kind of flipped on its head. And it just feels like you've got a little bit more flexibility in the way that you work rather than it has to be so strict.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, just going on to the next important thing with this, you mentioned before about that grid urgent and important. I think that's something that I really struggle with. I think just to prioritize stuff into important of high value versus low value and urgent, urgent and non-urgent, I just really struggle with it. If someone followed what I was doing on a laptop, you know, I start something and then I've got 1,000 tabs open and I go to another tab and then I just forget that I had already logged into my bank and I needed to make a payment, but I couldn't wait 5 seconds for it to log in, so I'll go somewhere else. And then 30 minutes later, I log in again. If someone did a screen record, they would think I'm retarded, honestly. Like, it's...
No, but the thing is, I do that all the time. So it must be billions of people around the world are actually doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Because...
And that's... Yeah.
Like, literally, I've done that so many times where I'm like, oh, shit. Like, literally signed you out because you...
I'm the fifth time you're signing in.
It takes like 45 seconds to sign in because you got to put your customer ID, your passcode, then you got to do something else, and you got something else, and then you're on there and you want to get a payment done, and then you're like, oh shit, I don't have that PIN Sentry machine to put my card in to get that PIN reading or whatever. So you're like, oh god, I'll do it later. But you've waited 3 minutes there anyway. So if you just wait a minute, go and getting the card machine, you just get it done rather than just leave it overhanging.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think this is one of the big things out of this conversation is this grid that you talked about. That I think if I made something like that and say, you know, for example, making a payment, it honestly would take an extra 60 seconds if you had a PIN that you had to follow up, or if you had to wait for it to log in, which is my problem, which is, wow, like, you know, I think I couldn't wait 30 seconds to log in, but I've logged in 5 times now. So
shall I tell you what the actual reasoning is?
What is?
I'll tell you what the actual reasoning is, yeah? In our minds, this is what I genuinely feel. In our minds, we feel like we're so busy.
Yeah.
That we can't afford to waste that time. While it's doing that, I'll do something else. But in all honesty, we are not that busy that you cannot wait for that. And in reality, to not wait is just pure stupidity, and if anything, puts more pressure on our time schedule.
No, I completely agree.
And the other side of it is it means you've got 2 tabs open that you probably don't even need to bloody have open. Like, the whole time it could have closed that tab after you've literally got 25 tabs open where it's exactly the same thing. I get a decision later for no reason.
I completely agree. So how do we solve that? I think decluttering our tabs is another thing we probably need to act on. Because we're both guilty of it.
How many tabs are you open right now?
Me? How many?
Yeah.
I've got 15, about 15.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You probably got at least. What I think the more important question is how wide are your actual tabs? Because I think that figures out how many you've got open. So mine are about 1 centimeter wide at the moment.
I've got 42 tabs open just on this.
So your mine are 1 centimeter wide. Yours are probably like 4 mil or 3 mil wide. You can hardly see the writing on it. You can just see the picture.
Icon. I look at some of the logos sometimes. Oh, the shit's in that.
Oh, man.
You know what it is? It's like part of me just doesn't want to make a decision to close just in case I need it, or just in case I forget what it was on there. Yeah,
that's exactly why I do it as well.
And I've got, I remember writing down on pieces of paper, like all of the tabs I had open just in case I need it. And I've lost that. I don't know where that piece of paper's gone now. So that last bundle of tabs, I guess I didn't really need them.
Oh man.
Maybe I did. And that's why I'm doing all this again. Such a mess, man. It's so annoying. I don't want to do this anymore, but it's just
I think so. This is what I think we should do now from now on. Make that grid. I think that's a great idea. So instead of jumping straight into, you know, having 30-minute by 30-minute schedules and putting that pressure, I think that start with the first phase is to make that grid and the quadrant and divide things into urgency and importance. And the other thing is to try and declutter your tabs and slow down. I think, like you said, you know, we're never that busy. So if you just slowed down and said, oh, let me just finish this payment, I think that would be fine. And the funny thing is, if people actually talk to us in real life, they would never guess that we would be like that, you know, because we usually, people would say, oh yeah, you're pretty chilled, you know, you're just sort of quite cruisy in life.
You know what a good way of putting it down is? You slow down to speed up.
Yep. I completely agree.
Because otherwise you're just moving like just loose cannon, just running around in circles, doing all sorts of...
Yep.
It's really not necessary to act like that.
Slow down to speed up. Take one step back to take two steps forward.
Exactly. So I think that's the main thing, is like sometimes you just have to just not really think so much about what's going on and just take things in your stride, really. I think that's the main way of just moving forward. I'd really appreciate if anyone could basically just advise us if they have any thoughts, any ideas for one, the tab thing. Like, has anyone else had an issue keeping tabs open and what they've done to actually resolve that? And the other side of it is really just any other tips and tricks that people have implemented to kind of manage their diary, manage their time better, because we've got so many things on. Like, I'm trying to run two businesses and trading every day whilst trying to still manage time to actually chill out. It's pretty difficult, but I'd really appreciate if anyone else, because I'm not the only person in the world that's doing this, right? Yeah. You're not the only person in the world. So
yeah, and not only if people listening, you know, if you've got any, if you just wanted to share your struggles as well, we would love to hear that. And you know, just knowing that we're not the only ones, I think that would make us feel better as well. And obviously, if anyone has any suggestions, that would be good as well. Some concrete solutions. I saw my brother once. He took my laptop from me for something, and he just closed all the tabs. I said, "I need those tabs." He said, "Nope." But he's a little bit different personality. So I think it depends a lot on personalities as well. But I think we've got to find a happy medium and just step out of the comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah. Make the commitment to just try and make these small improvements and hopefully just free up space in the mind, not just tabs. We've probably got tabs in our mind in a way as well, like thinking about all these things.
Definitely. Well, it's been a great chat, and I think we've touched on quite a few things that I think a lot of people would connect with, and especially in these COVID times where everyone's been working from home and there's been no clear lines or boundaries between home life and work life. So yeah, let us know if you have any other feedback, just generally as well, or if you have any other topics you would like us to talk about. But for now, it's goodbye from Perth. Thanks for listening.
And that's goodbye from London. Thank you guys for being patient with us, and we'll be back next week again as well. Ciao.